This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
We are in a series, a new series this month called The Power of Words. Amen? And I believe that this subject that I'm ministering on is the most powerful subject pertaining to our faith. Because you can't, separate your faith from your words. And so really, it's a powerful subject. And we've been talking about words, and let's just go into some foundational scriptures this morning. In James chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body." So this verse is telling us that, when we walk this Christian life, we're going to make some mistakes. Has anybody made any mistakes since you've been walking this Christian life? We're not perfect, but we're forgiven. Amen? And so, but if you want to make less mistakes, how many people want to make less mistakes in here? Then we need to control what comes out of our mouths. So really, what comes out of our mouths will cause good things to come about or bad things to come about. So we need to be very careful about what comes out of our mouth. And then he says to us, if we can control our tongues, we can actually control our entire bodies. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that your words can affect your bodies? I believe it can. I believe our words have the power to affect our bodies. And so we need to be praying a prayer that, a lot of times we go on our feelings, or we look at the circumstances and we talk about that. We use words for observation. We use words for communication. But we need to use words to build our lives with. In other words, God uses words to create. And so our words should be used to create and not to destroy. And so we can, out of our mouths, we can be creative in what we say, or we can be destructive in what we say. Can you agree with me on that? And so I like this, because this is a scripture in Psalms 9:14. It's a good psalm to pray, especially. Are there any talkers in the house today? I mean, how many people like to talk? We know that ladies tend to talk more than men, but that doesn't mean there are some men that are talkers. I'm a talker myself, there are some men that can out-talk some women. Amen. But those that are talkers can tend to get into trouble, because we tend to speak whatever is on our mind. And just because we have some thoughts that come in doesn't mean they need to come out. Can I say that again? You can't keep the birds from flying over your head, like thoughts coming into your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. In other words, wrong thoughts can come, but wrong thoughts not spoken will die unborn.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
So we don't want to speak every thought that comes out of our thinking. And I'm going to say this. All thoughts don't come from you, and all thoughts don't come from God. Some thoughts can come from the devil. Are you serious, Pastor? You mean that there is a spiritual warfare that we're in? Is there a devil, a true devil out here? Yet most people that don't believe in God don't believe in the devil either. And people that deny the very existence of God deny the very existence of the devil. They want to throw that all in an area that doesn't exist, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't exist. And that doesn't mean that the devil doesn't exist. He exists. And sometimes these people that don't believe in God, they don't even want evil. They don't even want the word evil to be in their vocabulary. Because if you use the word evil, that comes from the devil. Amen. Put a D in front of evil. It's devil. And so evil comes from the dark areas that come from hell, from Satan himself, but goodness comes from God. So if there's any goodness that we do, it's motivated by God. Any bad, I would say it's being motivated by the devil. Would you agree with me on that? Or the flesh can draw us into some bad areas. So here's a great psalm to meditate on every day, especially if you're a talker. In Psalms 19:14, it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So we want to make sure that we're allowing that we're meditating on the Word of God. And some people want to, you know, I heard somebody say, how do you hear from God? How do you know you're hearing from the Spirit of God? Well, study your Bible, because your Bible is God speaking to you. If you just study your Word, that's God speaking to you. And if you don't read your Bible, God's not talking to you much. Now, we know the Holy Spirit can show you some things and reveal some things to you, but God mainly speaks to us through His Word. Will you agree with me there? And so a lot of times we are going with circumstances or our feelings and what we say, but I'm going to say override the circumstances, override the feelings with the Word of God. In other words, allow the Word of God to be the first thing that you say when anything happens bad in your life. Or when you're feeling bad or feeling weak. You know, the Bible says it this way, let the weak say that they are strong. It doesn't say let the weak say they're weak. That's in Joel 3:10. It says, let the weak say they're strong. So if you're feeling weak, don't say, oh, I'm feeling weak. Just say, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In other words, we go with how we feel, and that's where our life will go in that direction. But if we go with the Word of God, it will put us our life in that direction. Do you believe that today? And so it says in Ephesians 6:10, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So we wanna make faith confessions on a daily basis. Anybody ever make any faith confessions out here? Every day, you need to be making some faith confessions of who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and what you can do in Christ. We need to be making these faith confessions, because faith confessions create life realities. I'm going to say it again. Faith confessions create life realities. Do you believe that today? And so we need to be speaking God's Word. Amen. Don't allow your feelings to dictate the words that comes out of your mouth. And then James goes on and tells us that our words are like a bit in a horse's mouth. And that bit controls where the horse goes. Or like a rudder on a ship, even though it's driven by winds. See, the winds of life will try to drive us into circumstances and situations where we don't want to go. There's going to be winds of life, but we can allow our tongues to be controlled and speak the right things, and it will dictate where our life is going to go. I'm going to say this. Your life is going up. Your life is increasing. Your life is blessed. You got to believe that. Amen. And so I like that, and so you got to believe that. That's what faith comes in. Faith is God's Word that gives us hope, and hope is the anchor of our souls. And that anchor keeps us steady when the storms of life come in. Do you believe that today? And so I love this in Proverbs 18:20. It says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. This is powerful, because it's saying that when we are speaking the right words, and really when we're speaking God's words, our life will be filled. How many people want a fulfilled life in here? I want my life to be fulfilled. I want to have a full life, glory to God. And so we need to be you know, because the devil will try to come to you at times, and he will try to convince you that you're lacking, that you don't have it all, that you're missing something, that if you could just have that new car, you know, then you would be, or that new watch or that new iPhone, 18 or 20 or whatever it's at right now, you'll be satisfied. No, God can satisfy you in a desert. Do you believe that today? I mean, God can satisfy you wherever you're at. And so God wants us living a rich and satisfying life. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. I mean, how many people believe that? Amen? He wants us living a rich, satisfying life. So when the devil is trying to say that you're lacking or that you're missing something, in Psalms 23:1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want or lack for any good thing." See, whenever you're feeling lack in your life, you might need to take a scripture that goes against the lack feeling. And when you start speaking the scripture that God is your shepherd, you shall not lack, it will make you feel full.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. And so I love that. And I love this because it says in Psalms 34:9-10, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints." How many people in the house fears God? You all fear God because you're in church today. Amen. You want to please. If you fear God, that means you want to please God. And if you want to please God, you'll be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And it says here, fear the Lord, you as saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So if you are, listen, the world seeks things. The world's seeking all these material things, but the Christians seek God. And when Christians seek God, worldly things seek us. I'm going to say it again. When we seek God, then God provides for us. Do you believe that? In other words, we seek the blesser and not the blessing. And if we seek the blesser, the blessing will come. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. And that's so true. And I love this because we should be living. Look at your neighbor and say, live an overflow life. We should be living an overflowing life. Amen. And I love this because our words, because we're going to eat our words. And when we speak the right words, it will cause us not to lack and live an overflowing life. And I love it in Psalms 23:5. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup barely is there." My cup is half full. My cup has a drop in it. No, my cup runs over. So what is God doing? In the last, if you get your words right, he's preparing a table before you and he's causing your cup to overflow. Say, my cup's overflowing. See, this is the kind of life that God wants us living, an overflowing, abundant life. Are you one of those health and wealth gospel preachers? Yes, I admit it, I am. I'm a health and wealth gospel preacher. Why? Because Jesus paid the price for us to have the blessings of Abraham in our life. And, you know, he didn't come down here. Is poverty a blessing or a curse? If you say it's a blessing, we're going to have a one-on-one meeting after the service. Because poverty is not a blessing. It's a curse. But prosperity is a blessing. So I shouldn't have to tell you that. But Pastor, the love of money is the root of all evil. Yeah, but you're not loving money, you're loving God. Amen. And if you're loving God, then money will come to you, glory to God, so you can serve God better with it. I'm going to say again, if you love God, God loves you and he will provide for you and he will give you abundantly above more than you can ask or think according to the power that works within you. What kind of power is working in you? You got the Holy Spirit power working in you, and you got the Word of God power working in you. And you release the Word of God power out of you by speaking God's Word over your circumstances. And so I believe this. I believe it's God's will for every Christian to increase. Oh, I'm saying something to you this morning. I don't believe that God wants us staying the same. I believe that God wants us increasing in our lives. He doesn't want us decreasing. He wants us increasing. Can I get an amen here? Do you believe that? And so God wants us advancing. And so we need to learn to advance in the kingdom of God. And we do that by speaking words of faith and lining our words up with God's word. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who love it will eat its fruit." So death words decreases our lives. Life words increases our lives. I'm going to say it again. Death words decrease God's blessings in our life. Life words increase God's blessings in our life. Amen? I love that because in Psalms 115, verse 14, says, "May the Lord give you increase less and less." No, it doesn't say that. It says, "May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children." So this right here is a Bible promise that God wants to give us increase, and not just increase, but increase more and more. In other words, we're supposed to be increasing in our life and not decreasing. Amen? Part of the blessing of Abraham, and we have the blessing of Abraham through Christ Jesus. It says that in Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And so we have the blessing. And it says in Deuteronomy 28, verse 4, it says, "Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, and an increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks." How many people have cattle in here? How many people have flocks? None of you have those things. But you do have bank accounts, don't you? You do have jobs, don't you? So that was an agriculture society where that's how they lived. They breeded animals and they had crops and these things. But you know what? God can bless your bank accounts. God can bless your jobs. In other words, you're supposed to be increasing in every area and every arena in your life. You should be the top employee of your company. Amen. I got an amen over it. Thank you. You should be the top employee. In other words, if they're going to fire anybody, they're not going to fire you. Why? Because you're the most valuable person there. And your faith is causing the blessings of God to be where you're at. I'm going to say that again. Your the grace of God on your life is, they're blessed to have you at working for them. I'm going to say again, your boss is blessed. And if you own the company, you're blessed. Say, "I'm blessed." I'm blessed. Amen. So we need to take scriptures and we need to believe that God wants to increase us. He wants to bless us. And I love this because he's calling us to increase. Let me give you one more scripture that verifies this. In John 15, 1 and 2, it says, this is Jesus speaking. This is in red, so you want to pay attention to this. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." So what is he saying? God is not just satisfied. I'm getting out of my chair now. He's not just satisfied with us bearing some fruit. He wants us bearing more fruit. He's not satisfied us just getting in a certain level in our faith. He wants us moving to the next level. How many people are moving that, you know, in other words, we need to get out of stagnation. Do you know what I mean by stagnation? That we're just kind of stagnant in our faith. We're not really going, we're not really moving forward. We're not going backwards. We're just kind of there. I don't want to be just kind of there. I don't want to be just stagnant. I know I want to be moving forward in my faith. I want to set some perimeters on my words, and I want to speak some words that will cause me to move forward. I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to have stagnant faith. Stagnant faith is stinky faith. Amen. I want to be moving forward in my faith, and your words will cause you to move forward in your faith. So this is how we're going to do it in the subtitle of my message. Now I'm just getting, this was an appetizer. This first part was an appetizer. Let me get to the main course here. My subtitle of this message is Calling Things into Existence. Calling things. You don't call what it is. You call what you believe God wants it to be. I'm going to say it again. You don't call what it is, oh, my kids are acting bad, so they're bad. No, you call them good. Oh, you don't call what it is. You call what the Word of God says it should be. See, the Word of God says something different than what the natural circumstances say. And so God demonstrates this in the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, it says, in the beginning, this is chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and some people, and then it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Now, some people believe in the gap theory, which means something happened between when God said, and then the earth was formless and void, and some people believe that's when Satan fell and destroyed the earth, and God recreated the earth. But that's a whole different teaching. I can't back that up with Scripture. But there's an idea, because God creates everything good, and the earth was form and voidless. So something happened. But God went ahead, and even in Hebrew, when he said created, in the Hebrew, it's actually recreated. And it says here that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, now listen, before you speak the Word of God, you need to meditate on the Word of God. It's likened to the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters. When you meditate on the Word of God, it gets it firm foundation in your thinking and in your heart. And then when you speak, dunamis power comes forth. So that's why meditating is pondering on what the Word of God says. It's likened to the Holy Spirit over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided light in the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning was the first day. So we see here that God says and God calls. He says and he calls and he creates. He created light, and then he went ahead and created a beautiful word. And your words can create goodness out of chaos in your life. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Your words can create goodness out of whatever the chaos the devil wants to put in your life. In other words, we are all like this world before we got Jesus in us. We were chaotic. We had darkness over us. We didn't have any direction in our life. We were going from one party to the next. We had no direction. And then somebody spoke the word of faith. We heard it. We meditated on it. The Holy Spirit brooded over us. And then somebody spoke the light of God's word, and you accepted it. And now you are a new creation in Christ, and goodness is over your lives. I got some goodness in my life. Somebody say, I got goodness on my life. You got goodness on your life. You used to have some darkness over you. Now you have the light of God's word causing you to be victorious in this dark world that we live in. So we need to, if God spoke light in a chaotic situation, can we speak light? That's the question. In our chaotic circumstances of our life. Yes, And again, I say yes, because the Bible says, be imitators of God as dear children. So God wants us imitating him and how he does things. God speaks those things that are not as though they were. We see this in Romans, that in Romans 4, verse 16 through 22, it says, therefore, it is by faith that it might be according to grace, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. So it's by faith, amen, according to grace. So it's faith. Our faith-filled words will cause God's grace, his power, to work in our lives. Amen. I love that. And it says here, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls the things which do not exist as though they did. Amen. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. Notice that. According to what was spoken. These are words here. So shall your descendants be, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, or the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced. Somebody say, I'm fully convinced, that God wants me to increase. And he promised he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him as righteousness. So we see here that faith produces God's grace, and faith-filled word causes God's grace and his power to work in our lives. That's why we speak God's word. When you speak God's word, God will back his word. So speaking his word will cause God to move on his word. Amen. Number two, God gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they do. So your words can bring life into death areas in your life. So whatever area that you might find that might be dead, start speaking the promise of God's word over it, and it will turn deadness into life. You believe that today? And then we see this, that Abraham did not focus on his age or the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't focus. So when you're believing God and you're speaking God's promises, don't focus on what's happening now. Focus on what the word of God can do in the future. So don't focus on that. Focus on the word of God. Amen. And he says here why he was in the waiting room, that he kept giving glory to God. When you speak God's promises, you praise God and thank him that they're happening, even though things don't look like they're happening. Can I say that again? You thank God and praise God, even though. And then that's what Abraham did. And he did that, and God caused Isaac, which means laughter, amen, came about. That was the seed of Abraham, Isaac, which then the Israelites came out of that, and we came out of that seed, amen? So I love that. So somebody say, the promise is working. You got to believe the promises of God are working. He looks over his word to perform it. That no word will return void. God's word does not return void. It will accomplish those things. Two things that God did for Abraham. When God met Abraham, God did two things. God gave Abraham a vision. See, the word of God should give us a vision. You should run on vision. The word will produce a vision in your life. When you start confessing the promises of God's word, then it should create a positive vision for you to move towards. And Abraham got that vision when God said, look at the stars, and your descendants will be like the stars. And then number two, God changed Abraham's name. He changed it from Abram to Abraham. Abraham means father of multitudes or father of many nations. So he changed the way Abraham thought about himself. And if you're going to change, you got to change the way you think about yourself. Amen. You can't think about how you were before you got saved. You can't be focused on your past mistakes. You can't be focused on your past flaws. You can't be focused on those things. No, focus on every good thing that God has deposited on the inside of you. You need to focus on those things. So when we got God in our life, God changed our name. You have a name change. You got to agree with that. Number one, he changes our name from sinner to saint. Now, some people say, I beg the differ. We're just sinners saved by grace. I can't stand that. No, you were a sinner. You're saved by grace. Now you're the saint of God. Because if you identify with being a sinner, then what are you going to do? Well, I'm just a sinner, so I just step in it every day. No, you are a saint of God. You become what you identify with. Oh, that's powerful. That's powerful. You become what you identify with. And Paul writes this in many letters to the church. In one letter he wrote, Paul, an apostle, this is Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, not to the sinners, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. So he called the Ephesians saints and faithful. I'm calling you today, you are saints and you are faithful to God. My church is full of saints, not sinners. And we allow sinners to come in because they're going to go from sinner to saint if they hang out. You stand on that slippery bank, you'll end up slipping into the water, amen, of God's grace, glory to God. And so he changes our name, and when we identify with a name change and we start speaking who we are in Christ, we're going to become what God calls us to be. Number two, we go from slave to free. So our words can change us from being a slave to sin to being free in God. And in Romans 8:2, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So when we come into this walk, there are some areas in our life where God's working on us to get us better. Do you believe that today? How many people are getting better in here? How many people are getting worse? Okay, we don't have hands there. We don't want to get worse. We want to get better. That's why you're here today, right? I'm here to have the best version of myself. Amen. And so we're here to be. And so the power of God can get sin out of our lives, get those weaknesses out of our lives, and bring us into sanctification. And that sanctification means that we're set apart to do God's will. So we go from slave to free. Our words can cause us to go from sickness and bound to being healed. Do you believe that your words can cause you from sickness and being bound to being healed? And it says here, and we need to agree with God. And when we agree with God, it produces power in our life. And in Isaiah 53:5, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That means that we're going from sickness to healing, and you can go from poor to rich. What, Pastor? You can go from poor to rich. Because in 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty, you might become rich. Now, when I was reading this, I said, man, I just don't like that word might. You might become rich and you might not. Well, that is a true statement. You might and you might not. Well, what depends on you becoming rich? First, you got to believe that God wants you to be rich. Because if you don't believe that God wants you to be rich, you might not be rich. If you believe that God wants you to be poor, you may stay poor. See, it's what you believe. Jesus said, if you only believe, you will see the glory of God. So do you believe that God wants you blessed? Or do you believe that God wants you cursed? Whatever you believe, so be it. I believe that God wants me blessed.
Amen.
I believe that. And so your faith will take hold of what you believe. If you believe this erroneous idea, well, God causes some to be rich and some poor, but it's all for His glory. You know, no. God wants everybody to have an abundant supply. You can't be a blessing unless you're blessed. And God's calling each one of us to be blessings and blessers. I'm going to call that. Can I say it again? God's calling each one of us to be blessings and blessers. In other words, you're called to bless. So when I was looking at that, because I was going to get another translation that doesn't say might in there, but the Holy Spirit is saying, well, listen, they might not. I said, why not? Because they have to speak the promises of God's word pertaining to prosperity, and they might need to give a little bit in the offering. What, my Lord? That means, because if they're not giving, then if they're not sowing seed, just confessing that they're prosperous may not work. In other words, you can't just be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Because the Bible says if you sow a little, you reap a little. If you sow a lot, you reap a lot. If you sow nothing, you get nothing. Does that make sense? So there's criterias. There's rules to reaping. And those rules are you got to sow something. Pastor, I just like just speaking words. I'm prosperous. I'm not giving nothing in the offering, though. Listen, you can say that all you want, but if you're not sowing seed, then God says He provides seed to the sower. Yeah. So if He provides seed to the sower, if you're not a sower, He doesn't need to provide any seed for you. That's powerful, Pastor. I didn't come out for that. But listen, this will help you. Because if you have an impasse of prospering in your life, you might want to start sowing some seed. Amen. That's free today. That's not part of it. That's just free today. So there's another truth, and I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. We want to speak the things into existence we're believing God wants us to have. We got to speak that we're increasing, even though it looks like we're decreasing. I like what it says in Matthew 18:18. Jesus says it a little differently, but it's the same principle. You ready for this? In Matthew 18:18, it says, "Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So binding and loosing comes from us speaking words. I'm going to say it again. Binding and loosing comes from us speaking words. You can bind sin in your life and you will lose the freedom of victory in your life. You bind the sinful habits. You can bind sickness in your lives and you can lose healing in your lives through speaking the word of God. You can bind poverty in your lives and you can lose prosperity in your lives. And when you're giving, you can even lose ministering angels to help bless you financially. Do you believe that today? The Bible says, aren't they all ministering angels to help the heirs of salvation? So angels help us. They can provide. They can move on people's hearts. They can cause blessings to come our way. I've seen God move on people's hearts, and I've been blessed financially all through my life. And God, you say, well, you're a preacher. God's going to do that for a preacher. You're a preacher too. I'm not just a preacher. God's calling each one of us to preach the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's calling each one of us to testify. Amen. How do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So when we're speaking God's word back to Him, we're doing a great principle and an awesome principle. We're getting in agreement with God. And when you get in agreement with God by speaking His words, then there's power in agreement. Somebody say power in agreement. That's why the devil's trying to get some of us to disagree with God's word. Well, I know the Bible says by Jesus Christ I'm healed, but I'm sick. Yes, the devil's trying to get you to agree on your natural circumstance of what you're dealing with today, but the Bible says by Jesus' stripes you're healed. You need to move your thinking in that process. Well, I know I'm not feeling good, but the Bible says by Jesus Christ I'm healed, so I'm going to speak that. But aren't you lying? No, you call on those things that be not as though they were. God's word is more true. The Bible says, let every man be a liar and God's word be true. And God's spiritual word is more true than the natural that we deal with on everyday circumstance. Do you believe that today? And so what we're doing when we're speaking God's word, what we're doing is we're agreeing with God. And notice this in Matthew 18, 19. It says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. So this is called the power of agreement. The devil understands the power of agreement will cause dunamis power to move forward. That's the reason why the devil works on marriages. Why? He doesn't want married couples to be in agreement. He wants them to be arguing, fussing, and fighting, to be out of agreement, out of line, and it causes power to lack in their lives. And so when you are speaking something contrary to what God's word says, you're not in agreement with God. You're not in alignment with God. And if you're not in alignment with God, God can't do anything for you. I'm going to say it again. If you don't get in alignment with God by speaking the promises of God's word out of your mouth, believing it, confessing it, when you get in alignment, powerful things happen. So to close this out, you need to start calling those things that be not as though they were. You need to start taking the word of God and speaking the promises over the negatives in your lives, and you will see the grace of God working. You can change the destiny of your life by speaking, acting, and being all that God's called us to be. Do you believe it today? Did you receive it today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you that you're helping us to walk in your ways, to heed your voice, to heed to your word. And I thank you that your word is the most powerful thing in the universe. And I thank you that you're helping us to get a handle of your word and to speak your word and to believe it. And perhaps there's people listening or watching, and the most powerful confession you can make is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And maybe you've never made that confession. You never confessed the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This will bring you out of death into life. And so I want to encourage you to pray this simple prayer to move from death to life, to move from a sinner to a saint. And you do that by confessing the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Say this and mean it out loud. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.